Just sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, amen.
And Jesus paid it all.
He looked beyond.
sing that again. Amazing grace shall always be.
And amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty.
Than anything. When
to worship thee, and I long to worship thee, and I long to worship thee. Yes, I long, Lord, and I long to worship thee.
We'll be having a prayer Friday at 7:30 for all those who would like to come and pray up. Amen. And also, we will be having a carry-in this Sunday coming up. So get with Sister Jody to find out what all everybody wants to bring. So, amen. We have one prayer request from Brother Cam, our pastor. It says, Pastor Cam's boss, Hal Detray, his wife is in the hospital. They had found a mass or something. I'm not sure exactly all the details, but keep her in prayer, amen, for healing and salvation. Amen. I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but we'll just pray that God would allow her to become part of this bride. Amen. Amen. Just gonna ask Brother Simon if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer, amen. Also the tithes and the offerings.
Good to have Lou Wellens back. Amen. That's right. So let's just bow our heads. Dear and Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you so much, God, Lord, and Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for calling us, Lord, into this message, Lord, this glorious word, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, we have broken, Lord, all the mysteries, God, Lord, you've broken, Lord, anything, Lord, we need to know, God, even if there's a question in the scripture, Lord, you always send someone to break the word, God, Lord, and show us exactly what the truth is, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, be with our sister friend there, Lord, Hal Detray's wife, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, just touch her, God, Lord, may Hal cry out to Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, Lord, God, Lord, for healing for his spouse there, God, Lord. Lord Jesus, also be with our brother Steve, God, as he had to head back to work there. God got called in. Lord, be with him, God, Lord, and guide him, Lord Jesus. Lord, I hear he's working with his buddy Renee. God, Lord, I pray you just use him as a witnessing tool, God, Lord, to lead that brother, Lord, further into the word of God. We love you, Lord, that tonight, God, Lord. Lord, just help us get our hearts all right, God, Lord, and to, Lord, just be real reverent before you, God, Lord, as children, God, Lord, and we just love you, Lord. Be the pastor. He brings this word, Lord. Lord, bless the tithes and offerings. We love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's just sing that song. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. How many are headed that way, that upward way, amen? Not going down, but going up towards the Lord, amen.
And come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. For we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city.
give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Worthy Lord. May we just sing that song, up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is our home, amen. How many can say that without a shadow of a doubt, amen? You know your home isn't here, but it's there, amen. Up the mountain. And up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Oh, up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah, oh, home, sweet home, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah, oh, home, sweet home, Jerusalem is my home. Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah! Up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Sing it louder, oh, oh, home, sweet home, Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah! Oh, 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 home, sweet home, Jerusalem. One more time, up the mountain. Just sing that song, amen, when the saints go marching in, amen. How many can't wait for that day? Very soon and very soon we'll be marching in, very humbly, very, very loving to God, amen, thankful for what he does in our lives, amen. Oh, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that. to say they'll be in that number when that one day when he calls our name. Amen. Amen. So glad about it. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When the Savior calls, I will hear him as our pastor prepares himself. Amen.
Oh, when the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear him. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Yes, Lord. My name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, if my robe is, yes, Lord. When he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When he calls, hallelujah, if my robe is white, I will hear him. If my robe is white, when he calls me,
this evening. Amen. Had some great plans to come here this past Sunday, and it just didn't appear to work out for me. I wasn't feeling well, and by the grace of God, I'm still battling a little bit, but I'm acting like the battle's done. Praise God. So good to be a Christian, good to be in the house of God this evening, and maybe we'll just get into the Word of God tonight. If you have your Bibles, you might as well stand up with that, and we'll read the good Word of God. And then we'll say our prayer, and as we've become accustomed to here, we'll allow you to have your seats while I remain standing. So by the grace of God, we're going to open up our Bibles to a few portions of Scripture this evening. I'd like to start out with Matthew 3:16. Everybody happy to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Praise God. Good to hear that. Have a little thought for you tonight. I don't know how far I'll get with it. I'll do my best to get it accomplished, and we'll see what the Lord allow. Matthew 3:16. After that, we're going to go to Ephesians 4, verse 30. Matthew 3:16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So notice, what we would actually call this is Jesus receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And we see that what God's statement to him at his reception of the Holy Ghost was, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Amen. Ephesians 4:30. We'll try to be a gentle preacher this evening by the grace of God. We'll see what God desires to be said. We'll just try to get ourselves out of the way. I know I am not a stranger from receiving correction from the Lord. Amen. And I'm sure none of us here are strangers to that if we be the children of God. As we understand, the Bible says that whom the Lord chasteneth not is a bastard son. So we realize that they wouldn't be God's children, but when God chastises you, that means that He loves you. Amen? Amen. So I'm not trying to give this a direction. I don't really feel like it'll be that way, but you never know. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption." Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, Lord, you see how we've gathered tonight in the house of God. And Lord, as one of our brothers had to go, Lord, and prepare for work, we pray, Lord, you'd give him strength tonight, Lord. And for all the others here, O God, Lord, who have stayed to hear the Word of God, I pray you just draw them, Lord, to this rapture. Draw them to the Word of God, Lord. May their revelation, O God, be quickened to the fullness of truth, O God, and allow that revelation of this Word, God, to bring forth the ultimate revelation of this body, God. Lord, that this body would take on, Lord, its glorified state, Lord. We just ask, God, now that you just allow us to hear this Word of God tonight, Lord, and just be able to receive, O God, more of you, Lord, than what we have now, Lord. We just ask, God, you just move us all aside, Lord, and may, O God, we receive strength tonight, Lord. I know here I am, Lord. I need strength from you tonight, Lord. I'm just asking, God, that you'd certainly give me strength, give the bride strength, give us church strength, God, as we move on tonight into the service, God. We pray, Lord, that you'd certainly lighten us, O God, to thy presence, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the church said together, amen. You may be seated. We had a title for this evening's sermon. We'd like to give it the title this evening, "A Dove That Can't Take Flight." We'll make some sense out of this pretty soon here, if you haven't already picked up. And by the grace of God, if we had a topic of interest tonight outside of our title, as far as maybe bringing it all together for home, we would like to give it a topic of a lamb's nature. Amen. So by the grace of God, We'll jump right into this and just say a few words here. As I say this, church, our mindset as we receive this sermon, it would have to be, if I could try to show you the way you should be thinking tonight, is we're ready for change. Amen. We see that we're ready for a rapture to be took in this earth, and God will take His bride away. And yet, we're seated here and we're looking at the Word, and yet we want more of what this Word has shown, what the Word produces. Amen. And by the grace of God, I want us to have that mentality tonight that how can I get back to what I was created to be. Amen? Because you see, when you were born into this earth, you were created in the image of God, yes. But yet, you weren't at the full, so to say, the full nature of what God had provided you to be as. Amen? You weren't at the full, even the character that God made you to have when you were to leave this world. Amen? So this evening, we'd like to perhaps just take this mindset, God, it's time for me to go higher, God. What must I do? Amen? Kind of like when you look into the Bible, you find that the disciples at this point in time, when He was there, you'd have a Nicodemus that would come to Him and say, what must I do to be saved, right? What would I have to do? And Jesus said, well, you must be born again. And he would be so confused with the natural aspect, he couldn't even see what God was really trying to do. And you see, because the Word presence was in that day, Nicodemus was desiring to go further with God. Amen. But he was not willing to follow the revelation of that hour. Amen. So we as a church, we have to take this mindset, okay, what is it, God, that You're calling me to do? And it must be, I see the Word here, I know what it's here to do, but yet I must find myself at a requirement to meet the criteria of this Word. Amen. What must I do to go higher? Amen. So by the grace of God, we'll just begin to work with this a little bit. And we'll see what the Lord will do. But I'd like us to perhaps go to John 1:32 in our scripture here. And we'll start right here. And like I said, I'll try to get as far as I can with this as possible. And what I don't get done, I just don't get done till a further time, whenever or however that may be. So notice here in John 1:32, it says, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Now notice, we all know obviously what this dove was, what it was, so to say, representing. It wasn't a natural dove, so to say. It wasn't some sort of a bird flying down, but it was like a dove. It was the Spirit of God coming down, right? And we have actually, unlike any other age, we have been given a video where you can see a dove flying from the grave of our prophet. Amen? It looked just like that. Amen. If you haven't seen it, you'll want to see it, right? But yet, we understand that it was a Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming down and lighting upon Jesus Christ, right? But yet, we see by the Scripture here that it abode upon Him. So notice this Holy Ghost coming down. It was able to find Christ, able to receive this dove. Amen. It doesn't say that the dove come down and lighted upon Him and then went back up. But it says that the dove come down and abode. Amen. Amen. Now, notice here, it says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. Now, do you realize, church, that this man, Jesus Christ, God in flesh, was, if we would like to say this, the only man that the Holy Ghost could ever light upon and stay right there without ever leaving? Do you realize that? And that dove, it remained on Jesus Christ until it was time for crucifixion. That dove did not need to find another place to go. It didn't need to be chased. It didn't have an opportunity to be chased away by Jesus' flesh. You realize when He was in the temple flipping tables over and going wild, that dove did not leave Him. That dove stayed right with Him the entire time. Why was that, brothers and sisters? He was the Lamb of God. Let's continue. So notice it says, I'll just jump to the 34th verse. He said, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. 36th verse. And looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, your prophet said that when the dove lighted upon the Lamb, that heaven and earth kissed. It was a heavenly being coming down and meeting an earthly being. Amen. And notice this in God making His promise, speaking of the same thing. It says, E41, it says, that was the greatest event this world has ever seen and will see. Now let's stop right there. Now don't go too far ahead of me on that quote, you'll get excited. But notice here, He said, this was the greatest event that the world ever seen. Do you realize before this, no man ever met the criteria of a sinless man. So there was no option when Jesus Christ come time for service. It was time for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because God could dwell in him. God could go on a spirit level in man. He could go on a flesh level. But He could not baptize from the inside, right? Soul level. That's why they were going to hell. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. But notice here, He says, that was the greatest event that the world has ever seen and will see until Christ and the church has united together again. Oh, hallelujah. I got to make up for lost time, so I'm going to preach tonight, all right? But the greatest event this world has ever seen will never be matched until the uniting of Christ and His bride. What are you looking for? You're looking for the greatest event. It can only be seen on the same level as Jesus Christ receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why was that? Because that was man uniting with God. His flesh, remember, was not God in that sense that it was immortal. That's how it could die. It was God, but it wasn't God. So flesh took on God. Oh, hallelujah. And what do you think happens when you come to the place that you are ready for the rapture? The bride has come to a marriage. It has come to the full uniting with this Word. Oh, hallelujah. We're all sitting here sad. We're all here. We can't smile. We can't do anything. And yet you're sitting on the very greatest event that this world has seen outside of the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we're running around. We got the Holy Ghost. And you ain't got an ounce of the excitement that Jesus had right there? Woo! Glory! Huh. I told you I'm making up for lost time. So notice, that is when God and man become one. Heaven and earth embraced each other and kissed each other and settled the sin question forever is when the dove and the lamb united together. One of the greatest. That's when the price, when the greatest reconciliation that was ever made is when God and Christ united as one. And friend, let me tell you something. We are God's lambs. I'm jumping. He likened us unto sheep. Now notice. Now what? As soon as this dove started and fell upon the lamb, and this lamb would have snorted like a wolf, what do you think would have happened? The dove would have to take her flight. She couldn't stay around that. Certainly not. She couldn't stay around where all that there snorting and going on was. So Jesus had such a nature about Him, there wasn't 1 ounce of wolf on Him. And that dove could what? Come down. Remember, the dove and the sheep have the same nature. The only difference is one is in the air and one is on the ground. And as that divine dove, that's heavenly and this is earthly. Hallelujah. What's the difference with what you got going on? Oh, hallelujah. I told you I was jumping. I jumped way ahead on that one. Now notice here, I want to go with this. So notice, if Christ would have had any Belial about Him, if He would have had any wickedness about Him, that dove would have come right down, heard a wolf snort, and flew right off. Hallelujah. Now notice here in Genesis 8:7, if you'd like to travel with me. Genesis 8:7, I'm going to hurry up for time's sake. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So notice, here Noah is, and it's time to see, okay, the waters are receding a little bit. Let's see what's going on in this earth. So first he sends out a raven. Now, so he sends this raven out. It doesn't come back. So, he's sitting here, and the Scripture, according to Scripture, it said it went forth to and fro. Now, remember, here we have a raven, but 8th verse, it says, also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But notice, the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth, that he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Now, notice here, sends out a raven. Raven don't come back. A raven has gall in its stomach, right? And in the difference between a raven and a dove is a dove cannot eat rotten things. But a raven can. So the raven gets let out. It's not coming back because there's dead stuff floating all over the place. And it's just going to find a home sitting on a dead body or something. Right? But Noah says, okay, let's release a dove. So he releases a dove and the dove has to come back to the ark. If there's no clean place for that dove to go, it would come back to the ark. That's a type of the believer as well. We have to continually come back to the ark. There's no place on this world that you can set yourself and find yourself in a solace unless you find where the Word is. Even in our lives, church, you think you can just live in a mall and have the Holy Ghost there. You can't. You have to be where the Holy Ghost is. And that dove won't stick around in any territory like that. So notice, the dove, it cannot abode and stay in any unclean place. And remember, the dove eventually, of course, in finding that story, it comes to a place there, it finds a clean place to lay its head. Amen. But notice, if I can, I want us to get this aspect down because I want you to understand that here we are, Christian believers, and we say we got the Holy Ghost, but do we realize how temperamental these things are? Right? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed to the day of your redemption. You can grieve the Holy Ghost. You can push the Holy Ghost away from you. That's why Paul said, I die daily. And that's why every day we need to cry out that that dove stays where he needs to stay. What do you think? Jesus just kind of just floated around doing whatever and didn't stay in a consecrated state? He was the Word. He was always in a consecrated state. He was born sinless. He wasn't born of sexual desire. Amen. He was bringing forth a nature that was pleasing to the dove. But Paul had to say, I have to die daily. You were born into a serpent. Something that would have to be changed. So the rest of your days, when you receive the Holy Ghost, if you at any point in time allow the wolf to show forth its nature, the dove will not abide there. Notice here, trying to skip some things here. Let's go to Leadership 65, quotation. '65, 1207, if you notice. He says, in 94, he says, that's the way the Christian is. That's the way God represented himself in a dove, see? Because... and Jesus was represented as a lamb. Always in nature, you'll find God. And God likened us unto sheep that has to be led. Did you ever notice there, I preached a sermon ago, that the dove coming down on the lamb to lead the lamb, it led the lamb, him to the slaughter, the dove. Now, if the lamb, the dove, could not have descended upon any other type of animal, because they both had to be of the same nature. See? If the dove would have lit upon a wolf, and he would have snorted or growled, the dove would have took its flight. We heard that again now. One from early, one from late in quotations. 95. Well, that's the same way now. Now look at this. This is at the very end of this ministry. And our ill ways are... wait a minute, not him. And our ill ways, the Holy Spirit just takes his flight and goes away. It's got to have the same nature. The bird of heavens, the dove, the meekest animal on the earth, the lamb, they can agree together. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and makes us new creatures, then he can lead us. But we try to live the same old life. It won't work. It just won't work. You say, brother, why is our church not doing what I think it should do? Why is the message not doing what it should do? And then we look... and we understand that this is conditional. The dove staying on you. I think we get this mixed up in our minds that, okay, I received the Holy Ghost. It's on me 24/7 every day because you know what? I've got it. But what you don't get is that if you start showing the nature of the devil, If you allow this flesh to show forth itself, you show the craving of this flesh. You show the love towards this flesh. The dove will not stay and abide there. Does that mean that you didn't receive the Holy Ghost? No. It just means that you're in a backslidden condition. And you'll remain backslidden until you get that nature off of you. Meaning what? It means that you have grieved the Holy Ghost. Do you realize your prophet said that the rapture is nothing more than a refilling of the Holy Ghost? Do you understand what a refilling of the Holy Ghost is? That's what we should get every day. Don't worry about it. God's going to make sure everything gets around to make sure that you get in that kind of situation. He's going to temper you. He's going to break you. He's going to do whatever your situation requires of you. Oh, Pastor, I'm going to get mad at you. Oh, I got quotes for you too. Maybe I won't read them. But I want us to understand, you can't just walk in these doors and say, look at me, I ain't nothing but a lamb sitting here. I'm perfect. It's got to be him. It's got to be her. It's got to be him. It's got to be him. Every single one of us will fight this every day for the rest of our lives. But do you understand what God does? I ain't telling you you're going to act like a devil constantly every day for the rest of your life. But do you understand why? Why? Your flesh. Why God allows it to rule over you. Because His design in this race that we're in right now is to build your character. Because here's what I want you to understand. The greater your character is, the more you look like God. Character, remember, character is not a gift. Character is a victory. Character is a battle. You can only receive character by going through trials. By allowing, by God allowing this to what? To overwhelm you at times. Allow your flesh to boast its strengths on you, because they all do. Amen. But notice God's purpose and design and all of that is to actually get you in a place where your character, you have been so molded to God's character that the wolf hardly exists anymore. Oh, but I got this flesh. Oh, hallelujah, you do. But don't you think that the divine character of God trumps the flesh? Think about this when you have some of your victories. Think about your worst battles that you fight, your besetting sin. Now, I'm only talking to a couple of us here because I know everybody else got nothing. But for people like me, in them certain times that you overcome that, and a lot of our besetting sins, they overcome us probably half, three quarters of the time. Generously. But do you realize when you get that shining glimpse of an overcoming moment, how well you feel about that moment? What is that? It's God giving you a glimpse into what you were made to be. Oh, hallelujah. You think we need to sit here and accept every weakness we got? Oh, hallelujah. Shouldn't be a sickness in the bunch. God could take it out tonight if we all believed. Oh, hallelujah. I'm wanting to get on some spiritual things. I'm tired of fighting this body. Come on. People listen to that, if they get that tape, they're going to be wondering what's going on. What was that? So notice here, our ill ways will chase the dove away from you every time. And that dove will not come back until your nature is right. Let's continue. I want to read this one, Church in its Condition 56. He says, I got a lot of reading to do here. He says, now remember, the dove will come. He said, oh, Brother Branham, don't tell me I never received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Down at the night, there one night, oh, when he come in, I could just walk on. Sure, that was him. Oh, I felt so good. I felt like I could get every little bird out of the tree and hug it and love it. A lot of us remember that. My wickedest person that ever done anything to me, I felt like I could put my arms around them and hug them. Oh, Brother Branham, how I felt. Sure, that was the Holy Ghost. But you see, the reason he couldn't abide, you was a lamb then. But when you become a wolf, he had to take his flight. Nothing wrong with the dove. Oh, I love that. Nothing wrong with the dove. There will never be one thing wrong with this Holy Ghost dove. Oh, God don't like me. No, it ain't God don't like you. Oh, God, why aren't you? No, it ain't God, why aren't you? It's why aren't we? Remember, God is obligated, if he ever answered one man for one thing, if any other individual comes on the same department, the same faith that man did, God has to answer. That's not a recommendation from God. That's a promise. Because God is not unfair. So if you could just get on a plane to want to receive something from God, I mean really want it. When you hit that really want it level, you know, follow the meter up when you do it next time. Oh, I know we're all wondering about this. There's a place on that meter. It's not all the way up here. But wherever that place is, I guess it could be. But wherever that place is, if you ever get to that spot, you have a guarantee. You have a thus saith the Lord. Oh, I know this ain't something, but it is something. Come on. This stuff ain't easy to listen to, but oh, Lord. Now notice, nothing wrong with the dove. It's you. You let that spirit come to you. Did I let it, Brother Branham? Yes. When you went to listening to that gossip, you listened to that lie. All they had to do was listen to a little gossip. When you went to saying, well, I've got a right to. You haven't got no right. You are bought with a price that was the price of the precious blood of the Son of God. You have no legal right. Hallelujah. The only right you have is come to the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Yes, sir. That's the only right you have is a surrendered self-will to God. And God does the leading from then on. That's what causes the meeting. Oh, why aren't our church services better? Looks like we're sitting with a bunch of wolves. Oh, I ain't seen no hallelujah. So, if we wanted some special meetings, oh, brother, schedule them special meetings. Oh, no. You ain't picking up anything what I'm saying. If you want a special meeting, every service that we come into this church is a special meeting. It is a meeting designed to be between God and man. It is a meeting made to bring healing. It is a meeting made to draw men and God into speaking conditions. It is a meeting for you that you would be so livened and quickened by what you've seen here that you would spread the good news, the gospel to all the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize when they met Jesus Christ, when Philip talked to Nathanael, said, "Who is this Messiah?" He said, "Come and see." You should have a God that you're constantly telling people about. Amen. And you're so confident that that God is with you, every time that's time to go to church, you go to someone and say, "Hey, you want to see the Messiah?" Oh, if the Messiah was only here. Really? You would have the same confidence they have. You'd say, "Come and see." Do you have enough confidence? Don't go there, brother. Have you brought the Spirit of God in such a level here? I know the answer is no, so don't think I'm saying something stupid here. Have you brought the presence of God in such a way in the house of God that you are constrained to invite people to that service because you'll know they'll see something real? Because if we're not at that mentality, we're living like wolves, church. Don't get mad. I'm only making up for lost time. We have to see a fork in the road. This fork is going to the World Council. This fork is going to the rapture. We have to understand that this is unacceptable. What's wrong with this? Really? When's the last time you read your Bible? Don't you realize that this is supposed to leave the cycle of revival and death? But when's that going to happen? When you're ready for it to happen. Okay. Oh. I just beat myself up too. This ain't just me slamming you. This is hard. The only difference is I've had time to reflect on my misery. Yeah, I had this prepared before. Okay. So notice this. He said, that's what causes the meeting. That's what causes so many strange things. Oh, I want to see God moving. I want to see the supernatural. And we can't see it because we just don't have enough lambs. We have lambs, but they just kind of act like wolves. The Holy Spirit will go to a place. The Holy Spirit said, "This is not right. Stop the meeting. Move yonder." I stop it too, brother. Move right on. That's right. Because you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. And the only way to be led by the Spirit of God is keep gentle and not to know a whole lot. How am I going to become led of the Spirit? You have to be... Well, you better know where your quotes are located. You better have them memorized. You make sure that you have that Bible memorized. This whole portion right here is all about a dove. And what it takes for a dove to light on a lamb. Do you realize when that dove lit upon Jesus Christ said, "I can do nothing except the Lord show me first." What was he doing next? Oh, he didn't know a whole lot. Yeah. Let's just read a little bit more. 98. Oh, you think I know a whole lot? Yeah. You get your brain all worked up, and it can't even work itself. You know all the books, all the answers, and all the Greek, and all the Hebrew, till it ain't got no place for the dove to roost. That's right. But you know it all. Then the dove can't lead because you know too much. Well, I got to study. Don't you realize that if we could just interject prayer, interject a crying out until we find a backside of the desert. The key to making this rapture is not what you know. It's who you know. We heard the messenger for our hour say what? I may not know the book very well, but I sure know the author well. What if we took a mindset and said, "Okay, God, I got to find you." What if we took a mindset? Say, "God, I sure know a lot. But I feel like I don't know you a lot like I want to know you a lot." Because you see, even knowing all that, when you're a real bride of Jesus Christ, you're not going to be satisfied right there. Because whether you realize it or not, you were meant to be in pure communion with God. I got a lot more quotes, but I better skip some. You got the idea? I'm sure. So notice here, do you realize by the scripture in Matthew 27:46, it says about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why Jesus said that? He said that because he died alone. Do you realize that Jesus had to have the dove leave so that he could die as you? That was the whole sacrifice of God for you. That he would have to, what? Live a sinless life and die alone as a perfect lamb in order so that you, being a lamb that falls every day, that dove could tell you in the New Testament that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you realize? I'm saying that a lot tonight. Do you see by the scripture? I like how I change that. When we get to Acts 7, you find that there Stephen was. And Stephen, moved on the Holy Ghost, starts preaching this sermon at the Jews. And they took Stephen outside of the city to stone him. And he looked up and he said, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then he what? He gets stoned. Says, Father, receive my spirit. He never said that God was forsaking him. Because that lamb had a dove that could stay on him in those trials. Oh God, what am I going to do when that time comes? Don't you realize, church, that's where you're seated at right now. God has given you an opportunity that you can overcome and grow character on you. Not knowledge. Ain't nothing wrong with knowledge. But look at what your knowledge has done for you so far. Because the full leading of Christ isn't in knowledge. It's in knowing nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Am I the only one here? Because, you know, I'm not a know-it-all in this message for sure. I'm not a very smart person. Can you believe they just made me a foreman at work? But in order for me to say what I need to say, a lot of times I have to start getting anointed. When I talk about the Word, I have to have the Word draw near. Because I'm not very smart. I have to have an anointing. Oh, if I could only get closer to that dove. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, we're all quiet tonight. I thought for sure this was going to be a jumper. But we have such a word that says, think not what to say in that hour. You are supposed to be so led of the Spirit. What do you think, Stephen? Do you think Stephen was reading that from a paper that he wrote earlier? He was so anointed from being a sheep, from being a lamb, that the dove on him could just say the exact... We look at that, we say, that's poetic. You ain't kidding, that's poetic. And Stephen had nothing to do with it. The only difference was, is that Stephen was willing to have something else fully control him. To say what needed to be said. Amen. Now, I think you'll probably get a kick out of this. I looked up on the internet, nature of a lamb, and I found just a carnal website, Sheep Info 101, or sheep101.info. These people love sheep. I mean, so much so that they put it right on the net. Everything you want to know about sheep. And they talk about the sheep nature. Now, here's what I want you to see in this. This I want you to just think with me. When we have people looking at sheep, here's what I want you to understand. When they talk about that sheep, a natural sheep, it's never, these sheep are the smartest things that you have ever seen in your lives. They're the greatest leaders. Oh yeah. You just listen to their advice because sheep are the smartest things that there are. Don't you realize everything's supposed to work with God? Oh, that sheep, he's... You know, those sheeps are really fast. You know those sheep, they're really strong. They're in the greatest shape of their life. But these brothers and sisters from Sheep 101, this is the natures that they listed for people wanting to raise sheep so they would know what sheep their nature is. I have, first off, they have flocking behavior. Sheeps are best known for their strong flocking or herding and following instinct. Sheep are best known. For their strong flocking, yep. Herding and following instinct. They will run from what frightens them and band together in large groups for protection. This is the only protection they have from predators. There is safety in numbers. Well, if one guy's going to make a rapture, it's going to be me. That's a weird sheep. I don't see that on there. Huh. There is safety in numbers. It is harder for a predator to pick a sheep out of a group than to go after a few strays. Yeah. We've noticed what straying does here. You stray, you becomes harder and harder. To what? To flock. And to stay. Right? We probably have thoughts in our minds. You've seen people who have wanted to try to come back, and they can't come back. They tell you they want to come back, but they can't do it. Why? Because they've isolated themselves so far from the flock that the enemy has them. And now, getting back to safety, they can't find the ability to do it. They're saying God can't do it. But they love that more than they love this. Still, that's what they're showing. They're showing that they love, that they know this is right. But they still love what they're doing. You mean I can't have both? A sheep hangs out, is best known for hanging out with wolves sometimes, and then other times hanging out with the flock. No. Yeah, I made that up. I know, it's hard to believe. I didn't read that. I was actually joking. But the best trait that you will find on a sheep is they love to be with their flock. They do whatever they can to be with that flock. And there's something about that following instinct that they have. I mean, they're just constantly, shepherd, what do you want me to do? Okay, I know. But I thought Jesus was our shepherd, our great shepherd. Yeah, that too. That's our problem. The next section is called Follow the Leader. And it says, when one sheep moves, the rest will follow, even if it's not a good idea. So a pastor is a sheep / shepherd. I'm following the great shepherd, but God has also commissioned me to lead. But notice this, when one sheep moves, the rest will follow. Even if it's not a good idea. The flocking and following instinct of a sheep is so strong. So if that instinct isn't strong on you, you're not very much of a sheep. Oh, why aren't there strange things here? Why aren't these special meetings? You don't even have your instincts. Let's continue. The flocking and following instinct of a sheep is so strong that it caused the death of 400 sheep in 2006 in eastern Turkey. The sheep plunged to their death after one of the sheep tried to cross a 15-meter deep ravine and the rest of the flock followed. One sheep. They followed a sheep who wasn't the shepherd. Yeah, they want to listen to everybody but the shepherd. Even from birth, yeah, there's the key, lambs are taught to follow the older members of the flock. Ewes encourage their lambs to follow. The dominant members of the flock usually lead, followed by the submissive ones. If there is a ram in the flock, he usually leads. Okay. All right. Get it? Social is the next step. Funny thing is there's really only three of these. There's that much to sheep. Really? You didn't hear one thing about being smart, did you? We have to figure out that this is a flock. We have to figure out that this is a move of God. What about everything else? What about everything else? I didn't commission this. God commissioned this. Do you realize God can't even do a revival in a church until the whole church is in the spirit of that? Yeah, I've been saying that recently. You know why? Because I'm going to be preaching on it again. I'm moving. You want to see God, we got to do something here. Should I say? Social is the third one. Sheep are a very social animal. In grazing situation, they need to see other sheep. In fact, ensuring that sheep always have visual contact with other sheep will prevent extreme stress when moving or handling them. According to animal behavioralist, a group of five sheep is usually necessary for sheep to display their normal flocking behavior. I hope we don't get down to five here. A sheep will become highly agitated if it is separated from the rest of the flock. This is my church. This is your post of duty? That's why. Don't you understand? That's why. I'm not making stuff up, church. I'm just trying to say, hey, let's kind of get this figured out here. I need a change. I've been saying that for a while. But you know what, Brother Branham, he was saying it for like years. Right? I preached on that. But when we look at this thing, we have to be ready and willing to do and sacrifice everything that we must sacrifice to get what we need out of God. Attendance is down? Sure. Oh, I better look in the psychology of this. No, no need to look in the psychology. Sheep have lost their instinct to flock. Right? We should love to be with one another so much that it just shouldn't draw us to church every time the doors are open. Remember? Brother Bram said, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, you can't wait for the doors of the church to get open. You'll be there every time. Whether you realize it or not, you're setting a mentality right now to be in this rapture or not. Because only sheep are going to make this rapture. Not educated sheep. God is looking for sheep. So notice, a sheep will become highly agitated if it is separated from the rest of the flock. Shepherd wasn't here on Sunday. You know what? What's nice about that? I actually had people texting me. And they said, are you doing okay, brother? When I start getting this around, I look, I say, they become highly agitated if they're separated from the flock. Right? Because when one of us isn't here, that doesn't work on one end. It works on both ends. I should be highly agitated because you're not here. And you should be highly agitated because you're not here. If we have the nature of a sheep, which will do what? Doesn't put the ball of the court in me to contact everyone. Because God knows I didn't feel well and I slept a lot. That was good. But you know what? That made me feel good. Because it made me feel like I was part of something. You know, like part of a flock. God just allowed me to get isolated a little bit with a little sickness for some reason. God. Oh, Lord. So, this is your flock. I just can't stand to be away from you people. You are my number one social group. Social. In addition to serving as a protection mechanism against predators, this flocking and following instinct enables humans to care for large numbers of sheep. You see, let me say it on this level. For God to take care of this situation, it makes it very hard for a shepherd to do what he needs to do right here. When no one even wants to follow these natural instincts of a sheep.
Oh God, why are you coming down?
Ain't nobody acting like a sheep. Everybody's in this society or in this thing or in that thing or everything's more important than what this is. But for this to become effective, why not? We all got friends and we all got families. But how are either of them going to be drawn to this? Unless this is the dynamic part of your life. Do we not all have families that we want to be drawn to this? Do we not all have friends that we want to be drawn to this? Oh God, why can't they see it? Why do they need to? If it's not dynamic to you, it won't be dynamic to them. You see, we sit here and we say, and we'll say, come on over. But they can only see what your nature puts forth. And if your nature does not show, this is an eternal meeting right here. We're wanting people to come to the eternal meeting. We're wanting the eternal shepherd. The eternal God, let's say it like that, to be right here. Because we want people to see that He is part of this flock. So, what do we have to do? Pretty simple. It's got to be sheep. Brother, tell me, how do I make it? How do I change? How do I do this? Become a sheep. So notice, it makes sheep easier to move or drive and enables a guardian dog provide protection for a large flock. Domestication and thousands of generations of human contact has further strengthened this trait in sheep. So more contact with the shepherd will grow the trait in the generations that are sitting there.
Oh, I want my, I wish Benaiah could fall in love with Jesus. And he looks at me. Why is my boy acting like that? He must be a PK. No. Daddy's showing too much wolf. Because a draw to the shepherd will strengthen the trait of the future generations to follow. How'd you feel that? Woo! That must have been the Holy Ghost. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Domestication has also favored the non-aggressive, docile nature of a sheep. Just being in contact with the shepherd. Not just Jesus. But you know, I'm pastor too. I know. Making it easier for people, especially women and children, to care for sheep. Sheep are one of the earliest animals to be domesticated, and they have been thoroughly domesticated. It's doubtful they could survive in the wild if a predator risk existed. Sheep are not made to be in the wild. They are made to be in the care of the shepherd. One more. I thought that you'd find this interesting. It says, normal sheep behavior. Changes in normal behavior can be an early sign of illness in sheep. You knew I was coming here. They put it in there. I got to read it. The most obvious example of this, of illness in sheep, relates to the sheep's most natural behavioral instinct. Their flocking instinct. A sheep or lamb that is isolated from the rest of the flock is likely showing early signs of illness. Unless it's lost. So if you haven't become a sheep yet, you're all right. Even the last sheep through the gate should be suspected of not feeling well, especially if it is usually one of the first. So when we are isolated from this flock, when we isolate ourselves, you're showing that you're ill. I'm talking about a natural lamb nature. We say, oh, I've got a nature change. Okay, well then you become a lamb. But you have the ability to put forth a goat. You have the ability to put forth a wolf. And when you're not looking and putting forth a lamb, what the wolf and the goat will produce, one of the first and most obvious and easiest things to see is their flocking behavior. Oh, Brother Cam was preaching against people not coming to church. What do you think that was? You don't feel like flocking. Natural nature tells you you've got a problem. But if I tell you got a problem, you say, oh, he's a jerk. I'm a jerk for telling you the obvious and for trying to protect your soul. I'd rather. God making his promise, 56. He says, what can we do, Brother Branham? Just become a lamb again. When you become a lamb, the dove will come right down and live with you. She hasn't gone very far, friend. She just took her flight and flew up there on the roof somewhere. She's ready to come back if you're ready to come back. What do I do? Don't try to produce a nature. You get the Holy Ghost there. Because the Holy Ghost will bring forth that nature. It'll give you so much more strength and bring forth your nature change. Because they were made to go together. One more quote. I'll let you go. I got a ton of quotes tonight. But I'm only going to read you one more. Lamb and Dove 56. He says, why can't we have the type of meetings we used to have in our church? Just become sheep. The dove setting on the roost, ready to come back to the heart again if you'll become sheep. He's still the same dove, but you have to be a sheep. You can't snort, fuss, grumble, backbite, and everything else, and expect him to stay there. He won't do it. You have to have the nature like he's got. And then he will abide. That's right. If you'll just get the nature of the sheep, then the other part will take place. He opened not. When he pulled the beard from his face, he had a privilege. He said of the crucifixion, I could speak to my Father, and he would send me million legions of angels. He could do it. But in order to be a lamb, he forfeited his right. In order to die in your stead, he was a lamb. You say, Brother Branham, what is the way back to the old-fashioned meetings? Just become lambs again. That's all. Just get back to being sheep. The dove hasn't gone very far. He's just waiting a chance to get back. That's all he's waiting for. He's sitting here waiting right now to transform this church, this flock. Into something very strange, very special. But this can't be a sermon, just a sermon. It has to be life. The dove hasn't gone very far. He's just waiting for a chance to get back. He said, there's a road back to Azusa Street. There's the place back. Oh, Azusa Street, God did some tremendous things there. If we could only get back. Oh, if we could only get back to God's, to the meetings, the charismatic movement. That's the way back. Back to the Azusa Street meetings again. Is to return to a lamb nature again. Let's stand. Look at that following instinct that everyone just showed me. I don't know about you, but I really want God do something here. I believe it's ordained. I believe that I'm part of it. But I know this, that if we're ever going to get anywhere, we will have to individually make a choice that we want to be sheep. If you need to think about it, you can get a copy of this message. If you want to understand it, if there really is really anything more to understand, this is it. How do we get to becoming the bride coming of Christ? Just have to get back to being sheep again. That means something to me. Me and my wife were talking just a few days ago and just talking about how we're not what we want to be. And there's honestly places that I can go in my life. There's even people I can point to and say I've been wrong. I can say that this situation here, not even involving people, that affected me. And you see, I can blame everything and everyone else. Honestly. I can blame one thing my whole life, that I'll miss a rapture. We can all put ourselves in this boat. We can blame something else, someone else, for what we are. But that argument will not hold on the day of judgment. It will not hold when it's time to make this rapture. But if we can just take the simplicity of where we went with Christ. God, I remember when I accepted you. God, I remember those feelings where I could have hugged my worst enemy. What was it? A lamb nature. Come on, you. You just loved everything. You're so inspired by the Word of God. And you say, I haven't been happy for a long time. So maybe I haven't been happy for years, maybe weeks, maybe days. And we can say, God, I just don't get why you've let happen what you've let happen. You can't blame God. We can only look and find God's perfect will. We can only look and say, God, I've allowed myself to be isolated. I've allowed the devil to put lies in my head. Instead of me, and I love it, Brother Simon told me the other day, he said, if everyone could just live for everyone else. If I ever seen an example out of that, it's these two right here. And there's a lot of truth behind that. But his desire is to do that more than what he's done. My desire is to do more than what I've done. You see, it's not that no one loves me. It's not that this is a blame. But it's coming back down to right now. What can I do to express the nature of a sheep? It's the nature that I said I received. And if I'm a carrier of that nature, I'll show exactly what that nature is. And with that dove there, it'll bring peace. It'll bring gentleness. It'll take your rights. I don't have a right. None of us have a right tonight. He bought your rights. And if you're a Christian, you've laid them down to Him. You have no ought tonight. It's coming to the place that, do we want to be right with God? Do we want to make a rapture? It's this simple. I've expressed a little less than a sheep nature. I've got my moments. And I'd like to say to God tonight, every day you're going to have that wolf fighting on you. I'd like to say today, God, build some character on this sheep. God, I want to show that nature in everything I do. I want to show that nature of not just the sheep, but the sheep will express the dove as long as it can keep that dove there. God, I want to keep that dove there more than for just a minute, God. I want that dove to stay on me as much as possible in a day, God. All you got to do is become a lamb again. We're going to say a prayer. If you're tired of the condition of this church, you're tired of the condition of yourself, it's time to start looking at our nature. Is it really satisfactory what we give God? What we're doing to prepare for this rapture? Or have we been found guilty tonight by the Holy Spirit? Message He sent us. Let's pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how I love you tonight. And God, you know, Lord, as I as you brought this to me a couple weeks ago, God. The more I've looked into it, God, the more it's just really tore me up, God. And Lord, I've been guilty a lot of times, Lord. Lord, of failing, oh God, and falling short of what I really know the Scripture says I need to be. And God, tonight, Lord, I just want to lay myself before you, God. And Lord, I want to say it, Lord, tonight, Lord. Lord, I do love you, God, and I want that dove on me more, Lord. Lord, I want to keep them on me, Lord. And I know, Lord, that, Lord, I've been given this flesh, God. And it's going to show, Lord, a little wolf here and there. Like your prophet said, that goaty spirit will come on over you. But God, tonight, Lord, I just want to follow my instincts, God, because I know something's happened in my life. And God, as a child of God, Lord, I just want to tell you, Lord, I want to follow you, Lord. More than ever before, Lord. I want to follow your move, Lord. I want to follow this flock that you put together, Lord. I want to be part of that, God. And Lord, I want to be more strengthened towards this ministry, Lord. Lord, you got a lot to do here. And Lord, I feel like I've hindered that. And Lord, as I say this as a little repentance to you, God, perhaps, oh God, as there's little sheep that are sitting here amongst me, God, that maybe haven't been acting like sheep, Lord. Maybe they're saying the same thing I'm saying, God. But that, Lord, they realize, God, that there's a move of God here. There's something strong that you're trying, oh God, to project to this area, Lord. And Lord, we've been guilty of holding this up. God, we ask your forgiveness tonight, Lord. And Lord, even as we understand, Lord, how in all those times that dove would take its flight, we understand, oh God, that, Lord, you'd come back. You weren't very far away, Lord. And Lord, we know you're not far away tonight, Lord. And God, we want to invite that dove back, Lord. Oh God, forgive us of our wrongs, Lord. And Lord, send that dove back on us afresh. We need that dove with us, God, because he's the only one that can lead us. He's the only one that can make sure that this move is exact in its precise movements. God, we've humbly asked forgiveness, Lord, sincerely, with all our hearts, God. I just pray tonight, Lord, you've accepted it. I pray, oh God, that you'd let something start here, Lord. Let a spirit of revival move in the church, God. And God, do what you sent this work here to do, Lord. We want to be yielded to it, God. Lord, it's not a knowledge, God. It's a leading, God. We sacrifice our rights right now, Lord. Lead us, God. Give us grace, God. But, oh, God, don't let that dove depart from us. Oh, God, the only reason Jesus ever let it go, Lord, was so that he could die as us. So why are we so hasty to live without you? So hasty to live without that dove. God, change our spirits. Change our natures. Change our mindsets. Change the isolation that the devil tries to place on us. Our way of reacting to it. Build that character, we pray. And God, I pray, Lord, do a move in the sheep who are willing to move on. Give us strength tonight. What a special service we receive tonight. Do strange things, God. Oh, bring that Azusa back, Lord. We want to have that kind of God, Lord. We just pray tonight, Lord. You change us, God. Change us to being fully led by that dove. I want to be led, thus saith the Lord, by that dove. Oh, God, help us, Lord. We commit ourselves to you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have much time, church. Can't miss this. I love all of you too much to let one of you miss it. God help me. God help you. We got to make this count. We see it. It's at the door. We'll just sing a song. I don't feel like I really need to make an order call. You can do that at your seat. If you need healing, we're here. I think perhaps if you need to talk to God, you can do that right there. That does sit right there. If you feel like you got him back, praise God. Let's try to keep it there. Let's just sing that song. Let's sing that song. I love that song. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble.
Bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble
like sheep, Lord.
We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols.
Lord,
give us pure hearts.
And God, let us be song, I want what you want for me, dear Lord, whatever, whenever it may be, amen. 'Cause I want what you want for me. like, God, I want what you want. And I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be. And I know
it's not.